please. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight, if you would, please. That's the ninth chapter, 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read here verses 8 through 11. All right, 8 through 11. And we'll pick it up in the middle of the chapter, I know that, but we'll reference the entire chapter as we go into the message in just a few minutes, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and Kyle Laura, you're going to sing for us after we pray, right? That'll be a blessing. Good to have this these folks in and have them sing for us tonight. All right, let's stand, please, in honor of God's good book, and we're at verse number 8. Please join me on 9 and 11 here as we read together. And our Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for what it teaches, how it speaks to our heart. Holy Spirit, you need to come tonight if we're going to have anything come out of this message at all for us, to help us. You must help. You must do it. So I, please, would you come, dear Holy Spirit, in power and speak to our hearts and help us to be tender and receptive to truth. And we'll thank you for it. Bless Kyle and Laura as they sing. Thank you for the time that Kyle was here with his family, Lord. And thank you for the City of Lights Baptist Church and their family. Pray that you'll bless them as they sing now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Forgiven today. Mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy that saved both you and me. Oh, if we had gotten justice, we would surely be lost. When we found mercy, when we knelt at the cross, struggling along, the God's great hand of mercy reached down from heaven's throne, and there at that old altar I bowed so depressed. But God, He gave me mercy when my sins I confessed. Mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy that saved and me. Oh, if we had gotten justice, we would surely be lost. When we found mercy, when we knelt at the cross. Mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy that saved both you and me. Oh, if we had gotten justice, we would surely be lost. When we found mercy, when we knelt at the cross. When we found mercy, when we knelt at the cross.
Amen. Dad, hello. Any news on the building up there yet? Any news on that? Okay, still a possibility. They sure need a building. They sure need to move out of that community center that they're in. And I was with Brother Harrison not too long ago at a missions conference at Valley Baptist Church in Oswego, and he was telling about that. And it was a good guitar, amen, Kyle. He crashed it into the. What's that? It's not yours, okay? We don't care then, right? Is that yours, Caleb? Oh, okay. There you go. All right, amen. Very good. All right. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, the benefits of giving. And from this chapter, you know these chapters as giving chapters. So let's jump into it after we pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight as I speak on the benefits of giving. Father, would you please give us grace and give us that mercy, Lord. Thank you for having mercy on us when we knelt and prayed. You came and gave us great salvation, so great salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for the battle that you fought and won for our soul. And God, help us to be dedicated to you. Bless us tonight as we bring this message. Touch our hearts with it, I ask in Jesus' name. And amen. In Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, there are some incredible chapters that are the key passages for certain doctrines or themes. Let me just give you a few of them. In 1 Corinthians 13, you got the obvious chapter on love or charity, the greatest passage on that subject in our Bible. In 1 Corinthians 14, you've got the important passage dealing with the matter of tongues in the church at Corinth there and how that it's going away as the New Testament progresses. In 1 Corinthians 15, you've got the great doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the chapter. And boy, Paul does a great job. Of course, it's the Holy Spirit through Paul writing about the resurrection. You get the 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. They are the key passages when it comes to New Testament giving. New Testament giving. So there's lots of key passages or chapters in the two letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Now, when you look at the two books in an overview, it is interesting to note exactly when the Holy Spirit gave Paul the words that make up chapters 8 and 9, which is the chapters on giving. It's interesting to notice when he gave him those words. Now, let me give you a quick reminder that this church had received a stern rebuke from Paul in a couple of letters. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, you learned that one of those letters we don't have preserved for us in the Holy Bible. But that second letter, oh, listen, there was division and strife and comparisons, and there was carnality, and there was immorality and selfishness and disorder in the services. You say, you know, what's comparisons? You know, I understand the division and the strife and the carnality and the immorality. Brother, whenever you begin to compare or justify your Christianity based on a comparison to somebody else, you're not doing well. You're not doing well. In the years here, 20 years here, I find out the people who get a real bone, a real burr in their saddle, and get sideways with the Lord themselves, usually there's a comparison with somebody else going on in the church. They're comparing themselves. Well, you know what? I know somebody else does this, and they never get it. Now, if that's going on in your heart, you're in bad shape. So comparisons fits this, okay? So all this stuff is going on in the church. Selfishness, disorder in the services. All of these things added up to a church in bad need of repentance and renewal. Now, in that first letter, where Paul really just raked them over the coals, nothing is said about giving until the very end of the book, in chapter 16, Paul takes the first three verses of that chapter, and he says, by the way, upon the first day of the week, don't forget to bring your offering and set it aside for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's it. Three verses on the whole subject of giving in 1 Corinthians. Three verses on it. In chapter number 16. That's all he talks about, the matter of giving in that first letter. Now, the letter does some good. It has some good results. It takes root in the hearts of the people and the power of the Word of God. And things begin to happen and people begin to get right. And Paul mentions the result of their repentance in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. That's where he says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. There's a repentance that swept through that congregation and repentance worked mightily in their hearts. And much was fixed. And Paul mentions that in 2 Corinthians 7, by the way. There's not that little list of things that I read earlier, the strife and the comparisons and the divisions and the tongues and all that stuff. All of that can be cured by a good old-fashioned case of repentance. But the reason we don't repent is because we don't humble ourselves, which is the first step to true Bible repentance. So all that can be fixed. And they experienced a great, great renewal in that church. So Paul mentions that. Now watch it. He mentions that in 2 Corinthians 7. Then. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul immediately takes up the theme of giving, and he does it for two chapters. So the subject that he gave three verses to in the first letter, he gives two entire chapters to in the second letter. It's not him writing. It's the Spirit of God writing through him. So the Holy Spirit gave attention to three verses in the first Corinthians, and the Holy Spirit gave us two full chapters in 2 Corinthians, right on the heels of the chapter where Paul talked about how mightily repentance had worked in the church's heart. Now listen very carefully. There's a reason for this. One of the results of a heart made right with God is a giving spirit. Where there was selfishness, now there is liberality. Where there was an unwillingness to even consider giving, there was now great willingness. The Holy Spirit of God was absolutely aware of the correct time to lead Paul to write to these people about giving. He led him to write about it when their hearts were right, when they were in great shape spiritually. Let me say this tonight, people. Folks who are saved in a good way with God do not mind preaching about giving. They don't mind it. It doesn't bother them. Those who get upset are usually, excuse me, brother, the visitors, but hopefully this brother won't get upset tonight, or fringe people who do not, maybe they just come and they hear one message and they leave and they say, that's all that preacher talks about. And they get sideways with it. It's interesting to me that Paul wrote, the Holy Spirit had Paul write about the subject of giving after their hearts were made right through repentance and renewal after they'd humbled themselves. Now, let me just take a parenthesis in the message here tonight to say thank you to our church for being faithful to give. Not only in tithes and offerings here at the church, but in giving to missionaries, in giving to guest speakers and evangelists. I think of the gifts that all of you gave so that Ben and Ashley could come home and we could go on that trip as the 20th anniversary back in June. You all have been very, very generous. And I want to say to us tonight, church, we need to be very thankful as a church over these last 18 to 24 months. Every bill has been paid on time. Prepayment has been made every month on the mortgage principal. Sometimes it hasn't been a lot, right, Brother Jason? But every month, prepayment has been made on the mortgage principal. Sometimes that's over $2,000. It's been very good. No one on staff has gone without a paycheck. Every missionary has received their support. Now, friend, I say that tonight to the glory of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, that's not the story in a lot of places. And I'm not saying, you know, up with us and down with them. I'm saying to you, thank you. And I'm saying, let's give God the glory. Amen. And on top of that, we were able to pay $42,000 to get this building tuck pointed. And we were able to pay about $10,000 to get that back wall redone. That back wall looks fantastic. And we got that pink color off of there and made it something more, you know, and it looks fantastic. Now, we paid out $52,000 for those major projects without passing the plate one time because of the money that was in reserve emergency fund. Now, that's a blessing. God has been so good to us. As of the end of October, that's just a few days ago, as of the end of October, we were a little over $21,000 ahead in the general fund of last year's giving for that same time period. From January to October of 2009, January to October 2010, we're 21,000 over. Now, you know what? That may change a little bit because last year we might have had four Sundays in October and five in November. You know, that's somehow how it falls sometimes. We had five in October this time. But I'm talking about for the first 10 months of the year, this year in our general fund, we're $21,000 approximately over last year's giving. Now, we're still not at the pace of 2008. But I'm telling you what, that's very, very healthy, and I appreciate that. In missions, we were a little over $6,000 ahead of last year in 10 months. And that's a blessing. That's a great blessing. I was with fear and trembling going into this year's missions conference and taking on missionaries because I thought, boy, oh boy, after from 2008 to 2009, we went down. But this year, $6,000 over. So that is a blessing. The building fund is the only one of the three that has seen a decrease. It's a little over $4,000 less than last year. So two out of three is very good and definitely a big improvement when you compare 2009 to 2008. Okay? A great big improvement. Now, we opened the new building for use over there across the parking lot in January of 2008. And I want to say, you know, what a blessing that building has been. On the backside of it, seeing what all goes on in that building now on Sunday, and throughout the week on Monday through Friday, and many times on Saturday, I don't, and with all that's going on upstairs with the Spanish right now, I don't know how we could have gotten by without that building over there. I don't know what we would have done. I really don't. So it has been a tremendous blessing. When we were going into that project, I had a goal of seeing it paid off in 20 years. I was 51 the day we moved in. We moved in on my birthday, 2008. So it's very easy for me to remember. I was 51 years of age. And I had hopes of being debt-free by the time I was 70 in whatever year that is. Dr. Jack Howes, where I went to school over there in Hammond, he did so many good, wonderful things in his ministry. But this may not sound like much to you, but to me, I think one of the greatest things he ever did, and he's known for I don't know how much, but to me, one of the greatest things he ever did, when he died in 2001, he left Jack Scoff a debt-free ministry. And when you go up there and you see all that property, on Sibley Street, on Oakley, all that property, and he left Jack Scoff. Now, Jack Howes he had debt. I remember we talked about it. I was in business meetings where they talked about debt. They had debt retirement and so forth and so on. But, I mean, by the time he died, he turned over to Jack Scott, the next pastor. He didn't know it was going to be Jack Scott. Maybe he did know. I don't know. But anyway, he handed the next pastor a debt-free ministry. To me, well, you couldn't do anything any better for a new man coming in than that right there. So that has been my goal ever since we put that building up or redid that building across the parking lot. You know, I would love to hand this ministry someday to the next man debt-free. That'll depend on how many years God gives me life and breath and health and leaves me here to pastor the church and how our church does and how willing we are to give to that end. I'll tell you this much, I'm not going to cut back on preaching from the pulpit just because we have a debt. I'm not going to cut back. And if stuff needs to be preached about, stuff is going to have to get preached about. And we just leave it with God, okay? That's my commitment to the Lord and to you as the pastor. So it's all going to depend on what God does over the next little while. And so that's my goal. My goal has been, and it is right now, to someday turn over that building, over this ministry someday to the next man, debt-free. Now, I do not come tonight using a bully pulpit to knock you over the head. I don't come tonight to twist your arms until you cry uncle or okay. I come in the same spirit that Paul was in when he wrote to these people about the offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's what 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is about. We've talked about that before. It's for those poor saints who were in Jerusalem. And Paul wrote this church, and not just Paul, the Holy Spirit of God had Paul write this church after their renewal and their, if you will, revival in their heart. A subject he only gave three verses to in the first letter. He gave two chapters to in the second letter, when their hearts were right with God. Now, when Paul starts chapter 9 in verses 1 through 5, we're not going to go down through all these verses. We'll get to where I'm going. It won't be long tonight. We'll get to where I'm going in just a minute. In verses 1 through 5, he's saying to these people, look, I know you have been taking these offerings for the poor saints in Jerusalem. I know you are ready, but I have bragged about you to the churches that are in Macedonia, and I've been telling them how that, you know, you've had a revival and a renewal, if you will, and there's a great spirit in the church, and you are excited about this offering that you're taking for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he says, you know, when I come to you, there's going to be some people from Macedonia with me, and I know you're ready, but just in case I have summed this wrong. He said, I'm sending Titus to you and another brother to encourage you, to inspire you, motivate you in this offering so that when I come, your offering will be ready. That's really what Paul talks about in the first five verses of this chapter. And so that's what he's saying to the Corinthian people, okay? Then in verses 6 through 8, he exhorts them to make their giving a matter of purpose. And he says, when you do, remember that God will bless you for giving. That familiar passage in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then the purpose in verse number 7 there, purpose in your heart, and so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. He says, folks, he said, purpose in your heart about this offering that we're taking, and give it. And man, you know, if you purpose in your heart to be generous, God's going to bless you. So if you give, if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He said, that's the principle of giving. So now he tells them that in those verses. And then he gets to verses 9 and 10. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. It won't be but just a second. Look at it, verse 9 and 10. He says, as it is written. What does that mean? He's quoting from the what? Old Testament. He's quoting from the Old Testament here. And he's actually quoting from Psalms 112, verse 9. We won't turn to it. But he says in verse number 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He's quoting from Psalms 112. Psalms 112 is the subject of Psalm 112 is the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in doing God's commandment. And so Paul says about that man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in doing God's commandment, that he dispersed. When you disperse, what are you doing? You're giving. He dispersed. He gave. And when he did, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. His righteous act. His righteous act of giving and dispersing of his means to the poor will remain forever. It's going to have a lasting effect forever and ever and ever and ever. God won't forget his work and labor of love. God won't forget his righteous act in giving to the poor. When this man dispersed and gave to the poor, God noted it forever. It was an act of righteousness that God will never forget. That's what he says in verse number 9. Then he says in verse 10, now. So now he's talking to this church about them. He says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Stop right there. You know who that's talking about? That's talking about God. Who gives the seed to the sower? God does. Where does, I hate to say this with this word, but I'll say it just for lack of a, where does my money and where does your money come from? It comes from God. Every bit of it. Our physical health, our mental health, the opportunity, the ability to go to a place of employment and work or go to a business and I put the time in and get paid. Even the teenagers and children in this church who have an allowance and do the chores around the house, and the teenagers who babysit and mow lawns, the health to go out and push a lawnmower through a yard, and the ability mentally to do that. You and I didn't order that out of a catalog, friend. That came from the good hand of God Almighty. Okay? So every bit, he that ministereth seed to the sower. It's God that gives the sower seed to sow. Now look at it. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that's God. God gives seed to the sower. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So Paul says three things happen when God gives seed to the sower. And that sower sows, three things happen. In doing so, when that man sows, God gives that same man bread for his food, multiplies his seed that was sown, and increases the fruits of his righteousness. Now watch this. Paul is saying, okay, Brother Jason, you should stand up there just a second. Paul is saying that God gives seed to the sower. God gives seed to the sower. God gives us the wherewithal to make an income. God gives us the money that we have, that we call ours. It all comes from God. Now look, seed is not made to keep. Seed is made to sow. You don't give a, you know, a farmer doesn't talk about all the bags of seed he has piled up in his barn. How's your farming year going? Oh man, great. I got 4 pallets of bean seed in the barn. How's your year going? That's great, man. I got 6 pallets of corn seed corn in the barn. It's doing great. It's all bagged up. It's all in there. You know, it's going to be a great year. You'd put that guy in a mental institution, all right? God gives seed to the sower. The seed for the sower is so that he can disperse it, so that he can sow it. Now, God says what? When he gives seed to the sower, and then the sower takes it and he disperses it, okay? Three things happen. Thank you, Brother Jason. Three things happen. He gets bread for his food. He gets bread for his food. God meets the man's needs. When he sows that seed, God meets his need. But wait a minute, more than that. God increases the seed that was sown. He gets, the farmer goes out, he sows the field, he sows in the field, and he gets to eat. Now, we're not talking about modern day farms. We're talking about when they farmed to live. All right? He goes out and he plants a field, and he gets some food for his family from that field. But now, wait a minute. He gets more than just food for his family. There's extra. Because you always reap more than you sow. So now he's got extra. And he can take the extra and he can help somebody else with it, or he can sell it and make a little money. But he gets enough for his family. His pantry is full. His cellar is full. His cupboards are full. His family's all taken care of because he sowed what God gave him. His needs are met. And now he's got more than that, and he can do some extra with it. He can give it to somebody else, be a blessing, or he can sell it and make a profit on it. And then he says, the fruits of his righteousnesses increase. His sowing of that seed has benefits that last for a long time. If he had kept that seed and not sown it, that would not have been an act of righteousness. It was the right thing to do to take the seed, go out to the field and sow it. And when he did, he got bread for his family. He got more extra that he could do other things with. And he did the right thing. And his act of righteousness is going to live on and on. It's going to benefit him, his family, and many, many, many others. Now listen, in the same way, you and I have a portion of... I believe with all my heart there are four groups of people in this church tonight. I'm talking about the building fund specifically. I'm not talking about tithes and offerings right now. I'm not talking about missions. I'm talking about tithes and offerings. I'm talking about the building fund. We have those that give. I still give. I give a certain amount of money every week, and it hasn't changed since we started that project over there. It's the same amount. I give every week in that check, that amount, every week to the building fund. And some others do as well. Obviously, that number is shrinking. Because the giving to the building fund keeps going down a little bit every year. Number two, we have those that could easily give and don't. Folks that could easily give and don't. I mean, there's extra, and you could easily give, but for some reason you don't. Then we have those that cannot and should not give to the building fund. Friend, there's no way you should put yourself deeper in debt while giving to the building fund. That's not wise. I don't think God would expect that. Now, if you have a mortgage and you can service the mortgage you've got and you've still got a little extra and you can give to the building fund, okay. But if you are trying to keep your nose above water and you're trying to keep from drowning financially and you're doing everything you can to honor God with your tithe and then some way work it out to pay the bills that come across your table, you know, I don't think you should be giving extra to causes like the building fund, even missions. I think you need to get yourself in a stable financial situation so that you can. Does that make sense to y'all? I think that's sensible. So we have some that can. If you're one of those families tonight or one of those people and your nose is barely above water and and I know some of you, after the class that Brother Johnson taught this summer, and I know some of you are working toward that end, and I applaud you for it. And I say, God bless you. And it takes a tremendous amount of discipline and financial discipline, and boy, I mean, sitting on your hands, and when you want to spend, I mean, it takes a great amount of discipline. I applaud you for it, and I don't want you to sit out there tonight and feel bad because you don't give to the building, and you can't. And I understand that. You all with me tonight? You all with me? I understand that. We have those that give. We have those that could easily give and don't. We have those that cannot and should not give. And then we have those that are... Boy, you know, you're not trying to keep your head above water. You're pretty stable. There's a little bit of excess, but not a whole lot. There's a little bit of seed. A little bit of seed. You see, our problem is we feel like if I can't give $50 a week, if I can't give $25 a week, you know, what I could give is not much. You don't understand, friend. Every little bit helps. And everything adds up. So you're paying your bills. You got your mortgage or whatever comes in. You're taking care of your utilities and that kind of thing. Car insurance and all that. Buying gas for the car. Taking care of the kids' education. Whatever else you got going on. And at the end of that, all those, you know, all those responsibilities, there's you know, you're not laying up and you're not getting rich. You're not just, I mean, pouring it on. But there's that little bit of extra seed that you have. I would ask you tonight to pray about giving that. I would ask those of you who could easily give and don't. I would ask those of you who have a little bit of seed and could maybe give a little something to pray about what God might have you do for the building fund. Folks, $10 a week is a real help. That's $520 a year. That's a big help. And you multiply that times the number of families, now you're talking some serious money. And you're talking about a wonderful way to pay this debt off. And you know what? What better thing to do for the next generation than to hand them this ministry debt-free? You know, we holler and scream about Congress and United States Senate and Barack Obama and we're putting the burden on the next generation. And you know what? I agree with that. But I'll tell you something. We've got to be careful as a church as well that we don't put the next generation in a bad light, in a bad way. Now, let me say this to you. If you are one of those, you know, boy, oh boy, you know, could I give $10 a week? Could I give $5 a week? If you're one of those families or people that, you know, you're right there, let me encourage you with the promises that are in this, the principles that are in this verse number 10. The Bible said when God gave the sower the seed, he sowed it. He had bread. His needs were met. The truth of the matter is, he was better than that. More than just his needs were met. He was actually doing a little bit better. And it's one of those, you can't explain it. You can't sit down and say, okay, here's how it happens. God number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't explain it, friend, but I want to tell you something. The same principle about tithing, you'll go a lot further on 90% than you will 100%. And I know that sounds crazy to a lost world who doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't have a faithful, they don't have a faithful God. But I want to tell you something. For those of us who've been saved for years, we've found that true. Life is much easier and better on 90% than it is on 100 because of God and His promises. Now, he said, the one who gives seed to the sower takes it, he disperses it, he sows it, and he has his needs met. And then somehow, he goes, man, I gave that $10 a week and I didn't miss it. In fact, I gave the $10 a week, I gave the $20 a week, I gave the $5 a week, and I'm actually doing better at the end of this year than I was last year when I wasn't giving that money. Now, how does that work? Take that to the psychiatrist and see what he'll be on the couch and you'll be in the chair. Amen? Yeah. And then, look, the act of righteousness will increase. What he said in verse number 10, and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God blesses giving people. And more than just bread for your table and more than just a little extra at your house, God blesses giving people in ways down the road. Maybe your children or your grandchildren, even your great-grandchildren. I am convinced with all of my heart that some of the blessings that are on our family today is because of the faithfulness in giving that my mom and dad and her mom and dad did for years. Faithfully, generously giving to God's work and giving to God. And God is blessed. And I believe with all of my heart that He will increase your righteousness. So I just come to you tonight, first of all, to say, church, we need to praise God and rejoice for how good God has been to us financially. I'm not telling you. Look, I could very easily be up here tonight preaching an entirely different tone of message. Say, folks, we're going under. And we've had to lay people off. There are a lot of ministries that have had to do that. I got a call from a fellow the other day that was employed by a church, and he's out of work. He was one of several that the church had to lay off. Several. And I could be up here tonight with that, having that message to preach to you. You know how much more fun, you know how much easier it is tonight to be able to preach a message like this, to say to you that God, you know, you've been faithful, and I know even those of you who have been through the crucible, you've been through the fire financially, job and so forth. I know unemployment, some cases, your faithfulness to give, and I don't know, folks, somehow, some way, God has been extremely good to us. And last year was not a good year, but as I said, everybody got paid, and every bill got paid, and all the missionary support went out, and at the end of the year, we were a little bit in the black, and that is a blessing for old night. So this is much nicer for me to come to you tonight and say, hey, look, we have this building fund. That's the only one we're lagging in. I don't know that I've said anything about this for how long. It's been a long time since I talked about it. In fact, in 09, when things were so tight, I don't think I mentioned it at all last year. I don't think I did. But I'm coming to you tonight to say, look, where are you in this thing? Those that give, those that could easily give and don't, those that could not and should not, cannot and should not give, those that are just right there, you know, you're just getting there now. There's a little bit of seed to sow. You pray about it. You ask God if He would have you do anything to help with our building fund. It's right there on the offering envelope. It goes right into the church account, and it gets paid on the principal at the bank on the mortgage every month. And I'm asking, please, would you pray about it? Maybe there's some people in here that, since I haven't mentioned it, you know, you haven't really thought about it. Maybe God would touch your heart tonight. And I can tell you on the authority of His Word that when you sow the seed, your needs are met. In fact, you look at it and you go, whoa, I'm doing better than I. This is nuts. That's an act of righteousness that will impact generations to come. Amen? That's exactly what Paul told these people. That's what I came to you tonight. That's the benefits of giving. All right, let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Our Father God in heaven, would you please take the message and do what you want with it, Holy Spirit. It was not preached in the spirit of a bully pulpit or anything like that. I just come to these people tonight. And God, I want to stop in this prayer right now and personally and publicly praise you and magnify and glorify your name. In order, for some reason, you would turn off the spigots of financial blessing tomorrow. You have been so good to us, we dare not complain. And I praise you and I thank you, God, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You've been so good to us. And I pray that you'd help us with this building fund. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight whose heart you could and would speak to, I pray that, dear God, they would think about it over the next several days, pray about it, and obey you in that matter. And God, would you bless our church? We would love to have this ministry debt-free by the time somebody else is ready to take the pulpit. But God, would you honor that goal? Would you honor that request? Would you help us? And I'll be careful to thank you for it. God, we love you tonight. Thank you for giving us a wonderful day all day at church. In Christ's name, I pray these things.